Good morning. Bienvenidos for those of you who speak Spanish. So today I'm going to be talking to you about reaching vulnerable Bronx youth, a two-pronged approach. And the goal of today's discussion will be Bronx youth at risk for HIV, looking at U.S. and Bronx statistics, as well as risk factors, a two-pronged approach to reaching youth, looking at routine HIV testing, community outreach, and innovative approaches to reaching youth, looking at youth and community engagement, as well as programmatic. So the problem is not over for youth. We know that 35% of new HIV infections are among youth ages 13 to 29, and 56,000 new cases occur each year in the U.S. With 20,000 youth infected annually, that is two every hour. And of those, 54% are young men who have sex with men, 35% are young women, and 11% are other young men. Over 85% of HIV-positive youth acquire HIV sexually, and more than 80% HIV-positive youth are of color, and more than 50% HIV-positive youth are untested. And in a New York study looking at the ballroom community, I'm not sure if you know about the ballroom community, we could talk about that a little bit later, they found that 80% of the young men were unaware of their HIV status. And there is a growing number of perinatally infected individuals reaching adolescence, and right now we know it's about 7,000. So looking at race and ethnicity among U.S. youth versus HIV-positive youth, we see that 63% are of white descent. We see that 17% are of African-American descent, 16% are Latino, and 4% are of some other race and ethnicity. But when we look at U.S. HIV-positive youth, we see that there is a disproportionate rate, with 65% being African-American, which is almost four times greater than the national population. 17% are white, 15% are Latino, and 3% are of another race and ethnicity. Looking at high school youth versus HIV transmission category, we see that 95% of U.S. high school students identify as being straight, and only 5% identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And when we look at the U.S. HIV positive category for HIV transmission, we see that 74% acquire HIV through same-sex sexual encounters, and you'll see at the bottom that's young men who have sex with men, and 18% are young women who acquire it sexually through heterosexual sex, and 8% are others, so that would be perinatal or other types of transmission. It could be injection drug use. So a little bit about my program. The Adolescent AIDS program at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center is the first program in the nation to start providing comprehensive medical and mental health services to HIV-positive and at-risk youth ages 13 to 24. We use four pillars of work: clinical care, research, outreach, and training, and we are considered a center of excellence locally, nationally, and internationally. So, for the history of our program, we have seen and cared for over 500 patients. And the most important thing about this slide is that there's been a dramatic increase in the last 5 years in cases among men, and a continued influx of perinatally infected youth and an increased number of women. In a study of HIV-positive Bronx young men who have sex with men ages 16 to 23, between 2006 and 2009, conducted by the Adolescent AIDS Program and Bronx AIDS Services, we found that 41% of the young men in our survey had no medical insurance. 67% identified as gay, 29% identified as bisexual, and 62% reported ever having sex with a woman. And the mean number of HIV negative tests prior to their HIV positive test was 5.5. And in the study, we collected a lot of information and some really compelling stories. And one quote by a young man that we spoke to and was in the studies was quoted by saying, "You can't be gay, you'll shame the family." This speaks to the constant homophobia these young men have to face daily within their families and their communities, as well as the HIV stigma they have to deal with. The Adolescent AIDS Program has developed a two-pronged approach, institutional approach and a youth-centered approach. When looking at general population HIV testing, we decided to implement an institutional approach, working with school-based programs and also starting up a hospital-wide scale-up, as well as working with our local Department of Health with a municipal scale-up known as the Bronx Nose. So what are the benefits of routine HIV testing? It reduces HIV transmission, lower viral loads, reduce HIV transmission by 94%. HIV positive people who know their HIV status reduce high risk sex by 50%. It prolongs life. Treatment increases survival and quality of life. It also preserves resources. Treatment reduces overall care costs. Linkage to care requires a dedicated effort, and routine testing eliminates missed opportunities. And I believe that our next winnable victory is HIV. So why the Bronx and why Montefiore Medical Center? The epi data tells us that the Bronx population is 1.3 million, larger than Boston, San Francisco, and DC. The HIV death rates are higher in the Bronx than in any other borough. 40% of HIV-positive individuals are first diagnosed with AIDS. From a public health perspective, we know that routine testing should be done in an area where HIV prevalence is greater than 1%. The Bronx HIV prevalence is 1.3%. Montefiore provides care for a third of its Bronx residents, and there was a major leadership opportunity to start providing routine testing in the Bronx because we have a strong network of collaborative health and community providers. So looking at HIV incidence in the Bronx among youth ages 13 to 24 in 2008, we see that HIV incidence cases are occurring throughout the Bronx, with the majority of cases occurring in the Highbridge, Morrisania area. So that would be to your left, all the way at the bottom, where you see the darkest part of the map. And basically what we know is that all of the Bronx is similarly affected with HIV, but Morrisania and Highbridge being the most affected. So because of all of these things, we developed a pocket guide to ACTS, which is a streamlined way of doing counseling and testing for providers. ACTS stands for Advise, Consent, Test, and Support. This helps providers talk to their patients about routine testing. It helps them discuss the consent form that's part of the New York State Department of Health. It helps the provider discuss the choices between rapid and conventional testing, and it gives results and allows the patient to process if HIV positive and to identify support services. So ACTS in action. We actually did a study of five Bronx clinics, and what we found is that ACTS doubled the rate of testing, but the overall improvement still means that the clinics are testing only at 24% of the for eligible patients, which is far from routine. So even though we did have success in these clinics after we trained them in the ACTS model, we still see that clinicians are having difficulty providing and talking to their patients about routine testing all the time. So after a decade of work and moving HIV testing forward, we see that there was some success in our ACTS trials at the Montefiore Medical Group clinics. There was great success in the municipal scale-ups movement in DC, Oakland, Bronx, Fort Lauderdale, and Houston. The CDC funding for Providence Wild Scale-Up in South Africa, which my director, Dr. Futterman, is in the process of doing. This is her last year, and she's been very, very successful in doing that. The initiation of the Bronx NOLS with the Department of Health, and the National Institute's trial in the Bronx and DC for routine testing, and Montefiore Wide Scale-Up after the New York State law in 2010, providing routine testing in emergency rooms, inpatient and outpatient departments. So now looking at our community collaborations, we've been working for many years with CBOs who serve gay youth. Just a little shout out to those programs, Bronx Aid Services and Bronx Pride Community Centers. We've developed a coalition of more than 40 community-based organizations who work with at-risk youth, specifically poor youth, youth in foster care, homeless youth, and youth who are in engaging in survival sex or sex work. We have, since 2002, trained and hired over 150 peer educators in our program. We have worked with school-based clinics, both at Montefiore and Morris Heights Community Center. And we have been working very successfully over the last year with medical students at the Einstein College of Medicine. 10 years ago, when I started working at the Adolescent AIDS Program and I developed our first peer education program, one of our young people, Martha Diaz, said something to me that I take with me every day. And basically she said, unless you speak to teens in our own words, we won't get it. And I think that's so important for providers to remember. When you're working with young people, you have to meet them where they are. Because youth are ever changing. There's a new generation every 5 years. We have to become an expert on youth trends. We have to adapt and change with youth, and we have to adopt a community perspective and not a provider perspective. Some of the innovative ways we've used to reaching youth at our program are developing a community advisory board, youth speakers to talk about what it means to be HIV positive or engaging in high-risk behaviors, peer education program, hosting and sponsoring youth events such as mini balls where we gather a group of young people who are interested in voguing, and we order pizza, and we also provide education in HIV testing. Developing youth-specific programs such as LOTUS, Ladies Opposed to Unsafe Sex, which was an adaptation of Community Promise through our Connect to Protect program, which is sponsored by the NIH. Hiring staff from the community, that is so important to have a young person sitting across from someone that looks and sounds just like them. And providing an opportunity for patient integration at your programs. So how do we defeat HIV? We really have to really look at science and leading with science and not fear of youth sexuality. Providing accurate and compelling social marketing. Getting comprehensive sex ed in all the schools, but I know that's really a hard thing to do, but we're striving for it. But not just comprehensive sexuality education, but comprehensive sexuality education that includes gay and information about gay and trans youth. Ensuring funding for youth care within the context of healthcare reform and budget cutbacks. Addressing the developmental needs of HIV-positive adolescents, and addressing comprehensive care needs of high-risk, uninsured youth, and looking at HIV testing, STD screening, and treatment, as well as addressing the devastating HIV impact on youth of color. So I would just like to end with a quote by Colin Powell, "No war on the face of the earth is more destructive than the AIDS pandemic." And I would like to thank my colleagues, Hannah Lane and Donna Futterman. Thank you. I can open it up to questions if anyone has any. Yes? Those were the young men in our study. Yes.
Second question is,
sure.
What did you find in Bronx
now? Okay, let me take the first question. So in our study, it was a very small study. We had about 54 young men, HIV-positive young men, who were patients in our program, and they were part of this study. And just we had to look at not only their risk factors, but how many HIV tests that they have before they were found to be HIV positive. And what we found was that they had about 5.5 negative tests before they were HIV positive. So what we found from that study is that these young men were using HIV testing as prevention, which is a problem, okay? So they weren't getting that message in their head that they had to use condoms consistently, and that every time they went to an event or to a program, they had this oversaturation of, they had to get tested for HIV because they were gay, but they did not get the prevention message. So that's what we found in that study. But on the flip side of that, overall in the Bronx, aside from just gay young men, people did not think that getting tested for HIV was important. It wasn't part of their regular medical visit. So in their minds, if they weren't being asked to get tested for HIV, if there was no risk assessment, then they didn't think that they were at risk. So we're dealing with two different populations and two different mentalities. What was the second part of your question?
What did you find in Bronx Nose? What were the rate of new infections that you found by doing the mass viral testing?
I think it was a 25% we found increase in HIV from routine testing. Over the 2 years, there were 3,000 tests that we did, which is not a lot, but it's more than what was happening on a routine basis. So the Bronx Nose campaign has officially ended, but we're doing the institutional wild scale-ups, and now there has been a Bronx Nose that has started in Brooklyn because of the successes that we found in the Bronx. You're very welcome. The providers.
You noted that it was not at the magnitude that it should be.
Exactly.
What did the clinician say was the barrier even in the actual program?
That's a good question, and that's the last question I'm hearing from the moderator. They found that they were afraid to bring it up. They feel that the counseling model, having someone else, not the provider, maybe a nurse, or having a HIV counselor would be easier. They want to see the patient, and they want to see the patient in 15 minutes. They don't want to take the extra 4 minutes, we're saying, because the ACTS model is not doing a 40-minute or 20-minute counseling session. It is just explaining that HIV testing is routine. It should be offered for everyone. And in New York State, it's a law now, so everyone has to be offered HIV testing, and the patient can opt out. But just those 4 minutes for them is just too much. So we have to change the attitudes. It's not the knowledge, it's the attitudes of the providers to say, you know what, you can give someone a difficult, you know, a diagnosis like cancer. You should be able to have a conversation about HIV and tell someone that they're HIV positive. So we're working on it. We're getting close. We're not there yet, but we're excited that people are taking this on. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much.